You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustler, you broke, well that seems tragic. Gotta catch in the field like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky, then please bag it. I need the best cause I grew up beneath madness. Need a matte burgundy mercy. Jewelry so heavy it might hurt me. Smoking extra kill, that extra seal. Whoa. Buffalo money need extra bills till I'm eating so much I got a breakfast.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Jay Spence, and I'm in tonight for my man Sparrows for the Girls. He's out and about, but I'm here with my brother, my all bro Po, and my man Antoine Staley, and the Chop Up crew is back, and we are here to talk about this. Well, I don't know how I want to describe it, but we are here to talk about this last weekend's games and then heading into the game against the Jets. So I think this is a good episode to have Antoine come back to the show, because obviously the Jets are on a 2-game losing streak. The Bills are on a 2-game losing streak. It's put up or shut up right now. What's going on, Antoine?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to have you back. And then obviously the star of the show, the main event on this joint, my man All Bro Po. What's up with you, man?
What up, man? Good. In good spirits. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. I had to take a couple shots before we did this. I just rewatched the game. So I'm serious, by the way. I'm not even joking.
Like, no, I know. That's like, why I laughed.
I just took a shot because this is like, okay. But it's been a heck of a couple days for, I would say, for both of us. So for Twan, for you covering the Jets, I think, you know, in a couple minutes, I want to talk about the game that they just had, too. But to start off, it's fresh on everybody's mind. Ken Dorsey got fired. I had the pleasure of having Twan on Code of Conduct with me this morning when it happened. So, like, we recorded the show, then the news came in, then he was like, oh, crap, we recorded too soon. So we jumped back in and re-recorded it. Y'all got us working over here at Buffalo Rumblings, but let's get right to it. Let's start with the guest, Twan. When you sent me that text, it's like, oh shoot, we recorded too early. What went through your head when you saw the headline go across your phone?
I mean, I wasn't too surprised, but it just happened. I mean, the timing of it, you know. Look, the offense hasn't gone the way that it's supposed to be quite honest with you. I see people already tanking. I kind of see that's kind of what I'm dealing with Jets fans right now. But, you know, I mean, the offense hasn't played the way it's supposed to, but I think it's a deeper issue too. I think, you know, coaching, I think we kind of saw that last night. Special teams, they made a blunder. You know, had you not made that, then you win the game, and obviously, you know, you're in a much different spot than what you are right now, as far as the Bills are at 5-5. But, yeah, I mean, I just think kind of what you alluded to, I mean, they had needed to blame somebody for underachieving this year, at least so far. And, you know, Ken Dorsey had to ask, you know, right now. But, you know, Sean McDermott is under a lot of fire. You know, obviously, you know, Leslie Frazier's not no longer there. Ken Dorsey's no longer there. I mean, I think their special teams has been a bit of an issue, too, as well. I don't think a lot of people – we kind of touched on that, you know, on Code of Conduct this morning. Like, a lot of people weren't necessarily talking about that either. That would be something I would like to see him address a little bit more. But the fact of the matter is, if they don't make the playoffs, then, you know, all bets are off, it seems like, right now, because I think ultimately the Bills have a window, especially the AFC, and they need to be able to take advantage of it, especially with a franchise quarterback like Josh Allen.
And you know what? You just mentioned the special teams part that we talked about this morning. And before I swing this over to Jeremiah, I wanted to, so one of the things that I always used to talk about, and I used to get dragged, man, like, so I'm a big Andre Roberts fan. I know, obviously, at this point, his career is behind him. I get it. But when he was in Buffalo, a lot of fans didn't like Andre Roberts because he never broke it for a touchdown. But I was huge on field position and helping the offense. And yes, in 2020, the year that everybody thought that Josh Allen had his MVP year. He was the runner-up to Aaron Rodgers. That was the year that, you know, it was COVID, so everybody was, you know, just surprised by what we saw from Josh Allen. And I went back and looked at it because, like, I wanted to make a point to somebody who I bookmarked a while ago. So I went back and made my point. The thing is, that year that we talked about Josh Allen being so great and the offense being so dynamic, yo, our average starting field position was on the 37-yard line. Now, I know that might not sound like a big deal. Man, if you kneel in the end zone, you're starting at the 25. I'm going to tell you what 12 yards means. That's a first down you don't have to get. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a first down you don't have to get. So when you start at the 37, technically, if you look at it, you need 3 first downs and you're in field goal range versus you need 4 first downs. And I know that sounds like nothing, but when you add that up for the game, that means you're, in order just to get 3 points, you're taking away possessions. Like, you don't need those possessions in order to get points or to get a touchdown. Let's talk about your reaction to Ken Dorsey being let go, and then you can tell me if I'm wrong about the Andre Roberts and the special teams part there.
No, you're absolutely right. But, like, you're kind of explaining, and I would do this first, you're kind of explaining what McDermott means, and by the term that we all hate, complimentary football. And so, like, if the special teams is putting your defense in bad positions, if the offense is turning the ball over on the negative 40, as we talked about yesterday, it makes it extremely hard for the defense to help you win a football game. And I think that's what's most frustrating about yesterday's game, is that you did put us in those positions and the defense did hold their ground and you still didn't come out and help us out in the second half or whatever. As far as Ken Dorsey, like, I don't blame yesterday at all on Ken Dorsey. I think yesterday is not a good example to use when talking about firing him. I do think, however, he has been not very good for the majority of the season, whether that's the reins that McDermott has on him or whatnot. Like, he has just not been a good OC. And not even, like, last year he struggled too, even though he had good numbers last year. And I've been seeing a lot of these mathematicians on here tell me how good he's been doing as the OC. I don't give a damn about Moneyball at all. Like, analytics don't tell you half the story. If you sit there and watch the game yesterday, even though they had top 5 performances in offense and whatever statistics that you want to say, we saw the offense struggle yesterday. And if you watch the game, it's not an analytical game while we're losing. So I do think the firing is worth, or was warranted. I just don't blame it on the last night game on Dorsey.
Now, real quick, Spin in the comments says, if we lose out, we could possibly get a top 10 pick. Then it might be possible to move up for – right here, they're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, my God.
Like, how high he gets drafted.
Here's the thing.
Wait, before you do, I want to say this. I'm going to give it right to you, but I do want to add this to it. I want you to know right now, if the Bills lose next week, we're in 9. As far as draft position. So this isn't as far off as Spin is saying. But go ahead. So answer how you want. But the Marvin Harrison ain't happening. But go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, yeah, either them or the Jets are gonna be in position. Like, I mean, they're gonna be, might possibly have a top 10 pick if they lose. But the point is, like, people have to stop where they're like, oh, just take, because they believe the only way to find good talent throughout the draft is being in the top 10. No, if you're a good franchise and a great organization, you can find great talent. Like, in the 20s, like, look at Dalton Kincaid, where he was taken. Like, man, he was in the 20s. Like, you can, if your organization is at the top and good at what they do as far as draft scouting, it shouldn't matter where they pick. Either way, they're going to find good players. It may be a certain player that you fall in love with in the draft process. And look, I love Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's going to be a stud in the league. But you probably ain't going to get him, because I think he's going to be a top 5 pick, to be quite honest with you. Whether you talk about the Bears having the chance to get him, or, you know, the Giants potentially, or whatever they want to do. But the fact of the matter is, like, the Bills aren't a position. They have a franchise quarterback. They're not a team like the Jets where, I mean, yeah, you have Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers, he even said it himself today. He doesn't know how much time he has left. He might play one more year, possibly. And that's it. Like, they're not in a good position like the Bills are, where you have a franchise quarterback and, you know, they don't need to search for, you know, they don't need that top 10 pick because they already have that franchise guy for, you know, years to come. Other teams envy that. So, yeah, to say that, you know, just lose out, nah, come on, man. Like, the Bills are better than that. They're much better than that. And, you know, I still think they're a team that could potentially challenge to get into the playoffs.
Hey, Jeremiah. Oh, go ahead.
The problem with the problem with this idea of like how you can go from a team that consciously wants to get in the playoffs to tanking, that's not a thing. You can't just change the makeup and DNA of the players. Like, they're struggling right now on offense, but the players are not going to go out there and be like, yeah, let's tank. And McDermott's not going to go out there and be like, yeah, let's tank so I can get fired. That's not going to happen. The only way that you could do that is by cutting some of these players that want to win and then bring in guys with money that we don't have. So there's no way to tank for this organization right now in a way where the players are going to go out there and be like, yeah, let's throw this game so we can get a high draft pick. That's not the makeup of this team because we've been to the playoffs the last 3 years. If we were the Bears, where we haven't, you can go out there and be like, yeah, let's go tank. That's just not where we're at right now.
And not to mention, like, these players have to put good stuff on tape too. Like, whether they're going to be in Buffalo or wherever they're going to be at next year, like, they don't want to put bad film on tape because they stick with you like forever. So you want to make sure, like, whether you in Buffalo or wherever you're going to go, like, you're in a good situation where you're going to have that good film. So you can, it's a resume. It's like your resume.
True. But Twan, like this has been something for me since I've like really started to understand the level of professional sports. Like, I don't feel like even like, okay, as a fan, right? Like, I can sit back and be like, they tanking. They're tanking all day. I know Cardinals players out here in Phoenix now, and I know I can name actually a few different players on teams that aren't doing well. I know Cardinals players. I know nobody tanks.
Correct.
So, like, the organization might be like, we're in a position that we want the number one overall pick. I can promise you, and I'm not saying this as like
we're rebuilding,
we're getting good with player. Yeah, we're rebuilding. That's what the team would tell you.
Yeah.
But I promise you, every player that I know, every single one. And I'm not just talking about the all pro Poyer and the Micah Hydes and not them. I mean, the guys that you probably don't even know how to pronounce their name for real because you don't see them play all the time. The guys that are in the league, nobody tanks. They want to win. Like, every guy in the league is competitive. Nobody wants to be a loser at the end of the day. Everybody wants to hold up the Lombardi Trophy. Everybody wants to, like, so the thing about this tanking talk, I get it. As a fan, it's like, yo, tank, let's go for a top 10. Let's go for a top 5 pick. That's just not how the players see it. And when you got guys like a Jordan Poyer and on offense, like a Stephon Diggs, there's no tanking happening. Like, tanking is not happening when Stephon – go ahead. Whoever wants to take
position.
That.
And then they want to play. They want to continue to keep that position too. Like, they want to continue being starters. Like, they want their playing time. They're not just here and say, well, we want to tank.
Nobody's tanking.
No.
These players do not give a damn about the draft position.
Exactly.
None of the players care about your draft position.
Exactly.
None of them.
Exactly.
The only time a player cares
about looking at that.
The only time a player cares about draft position is when it's them to be drafted coming up. Like, I want to be first. Exactly. I want to be – if you in the league, don't nobody give a damn about that draft
position. Because guess what? If they take a player, like, that could be the end of you. Like, that might be the end of you. Like, they might draft your replacement. So they don't give a damn about, like, the draft picks at all. Like, because at the end of the day, they care about what they can control. And what they can control is what their performance out there on the field every single Thursday, Sunday, or Monday.
Well, let me ask you this. So now, off the topic of tanking, I'm not connecting these. So off the topic of tanking, I'm going to throw this at Antoine first because I know what this is going to do to Jeremiah, and I'm waiting for his answer, so I'm going to throw this to you first. When you watch the Bills, I know you mentioned earlier you don't watch every game thoroughly, but you've seen them play, you've watched throughout the season, and you know the stats, you know all this stuff. When you watch a player like Gabriel Davis as a wide receiver too, right? That's what they've promised us all year, that he's a wide receiver too. Last season, Josh told us, this guy, he's not a wide receiver too. He's a wide receiver 1B. He's just like Steph to me. Josh said that. My man, All Bro Pro, he keeps telling me that, Gabe is that dude. Gabe gonna get us there. Gabe got the potential, and he's gonna live up to the potential. I haven't seen it. What are your thoughts on Gabe Davis being a wide receiver too?
Does he have potential to be that? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he's very talented. I think you've seen it, in certain spots too, whether certain games this year, but it just hadn't been consistent. That's what it is. I think it's just the consistent lack of consistency there. I mean, nobody's arguing the talent. I think, I think of more him like probably like a third wide receiver. I think you could probably have somebody else, you know, come in and help take more pressure off Stephon Diggs and help the passing game. But yeah, I mean, I think he has potential to be that guy. We just haven't seen it on a every game basis. And I think that's kind of the frustrating part if you're a Bills fan. I'm not a Bills fan, but you know, just watching them, like you just, it's some games where, you know, he comes out and he balls out and has a really good game. And then others, you just kind of, you know, you don't see him as much, though. He's not flashing as much. So, yeah, I definitely think the potential is there. You just like to see more consistency from him.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, I'm ready for it. Let's go.
I don't disagree with what Antoine is saying. I do think that the consistency part I would like to see a lot more of with Gabe. I also don't think that the consistency is all on Gabe. I think that some of the consistency is on the way that they call plays, on how Josh is playing. Like, Josh has not been playing very good, yet Gabe's numbers, trajectory-wise, have been on the rise this year in comparison to last year. And his drops are also down, even though last night was a bad one. Last night was a bad one. And so with that, like, Josh has played probably his worst, in my opinion, as far as just watching the games, his worst season in the last, like, three. I don't know if that's agreeable with you guys, but, like, there's a lot of that goes into being a good wide receiver, too. Diggs' targets are also up. Kincaid came into the game, so his targets are up.
See, wait a minute. Let me argue with you there, because this is where I feel like you start to lay out the excuses. My thing is, before we had Beasley on this roster where he was getting 8 targets a game. You had Emmanuel Sanders here for a season when he was getting those same type of targets. And Gabe Davis so when we get into this debate, it's not because I just want to hate on him. I think Gabe Davis could be a phenomenal, like an all-worldly level wide receiver 3. I don't think that's a diss to put him as the third option in your offense or as a wide receiver. I don't think that's a diss. Me saying, like, even Cole Beasley, I've never looked at him as a wide receiver 1 or a wide receiver 2. He's an amazing slot guy in his prime. So I think to be an amazing person in your role is fine. I don't understand why it's a negative when I come out and say, he ain't no wide receiver 2. That dude is Chiefs.
It's a negative. I just don't agree with you, because, like, when I look at, like, yeah, it's a separation against man. He's not been a man beater. He's never been a man beater. Unless he's getting one-on-one, like, coverage and nobody over the top, he's never been really a man beater. But we have not been able to get people out of man by beating them with any wide receiver on this team outside of Diggs. Not one. Deontay Hardy has been, and Sherfield came in here to be a man beater so that we can get them in the zone where Gabe has 2 points. He has, like, one of the top 15 separation results in zone. And so, like, that's where he is successful, and we haven't been able to get people out of playing man on us at all this season because we don't have any man beaters outside of Diggs. And so those receptions that you're talking about with Gabe, with Cole, excuse me, man beater, Emmanuel Sanders, man beater, those helped Gabe with his numbers because they were able to go, they put people in zone, and he was able to play a zone and catch the ball and get extra yards that way. I just don't think that we've had an offense this season conducive to getting people consistent enough from wide receiver 2 to wide receiver 3 and to our tight ends. We just haven't had an offense consistent enough to do that. And so, yes, Gabe can be more consistent. I'm not taking away from that. But I also think that he's good enough to be the wide receiver 2 if this offense is running how we know it can run.
Well, we've seen it. Like, yeah. I mean, what did you talk about? I mean, I've probably watched like 6 Bills games this year. Saw the Tampa Bay game. I thought he played well there. I think it was Jacksonville. I think he played well against the Jaguars too as well. So we've seen it in spots. I assume it's like you just want to see more of that. Like, yeah, you just do that. That's the game. That's what we need to see all the time. Whether it be green, like whether what they scheme him up or whatever the case may be. But yeah, that's what he can be all the time. But it's just frustrating that you don't see it on an every game basis.
And for me, it's not even all the time. I don't need him to do it every game. I need him to do it on a level that is just consistent. Like you keep saying that word consistent. I just need a consistent. Yeah. I don't need you to have 100 yard. Like, okay, so like last year, the Steelers game, I think he had like 150 yards receiving and three touchdowns or something crazy on like, or no, he had two touchdowns on three receptions for 150 something yards. I don't need that every week. I don't like if you give me 50 to 65 yards a week as a wide receiver too, with Diggs doing what he does and then Kincaid doing what he does. And now that Cook is, that's what I'm not asking for him to come out and be like a world beater. And you keep saying like man beater, man beater. Well, I think in this league at this point as a wide receiver, you should, I don't need you to even be a man beater. I just need you to create separation. And when I actually do watch the film, that's what I see about Gabe. I don't, and you know, I'm not the guy out here talking about the all 22. I'm not trying to do that. But you know, like when you actually look at the film and you watch him, it's difficult for him to create separation unless he's stretching the field. So when we talk about his route tree, to me, when you talk about a wide receiver two or a wide receiver 1B, like Josh,
you're talking about man, right? You got to have separation in man. That's what you're talking about, right? Yeah. Okay.
Well, so, I mean, you got to create that separation. Now, in zone, I get it. It's a zone, so it's a little different. Like,
he's one of the best at finding holes in zones. And that's where, I feel like we need to have an offense capable of getting people out of playing man. And we just don't, because Sherfield and Deontay Hardy were brought in to make people stop, and Kincaid for that matter, to make people stop from running man so that they can run zone. And we have Diggs, who's good at finding zones, Gabe's good at finding zones. They're some of the best in the NFL, in my opinion. And we just haven't gotten there yet. We got there in a few games, but and they also asked Gabe if Gabe has been playing the number two tight end blocking a lot as the, like, this up back off the ball. And like, they ask him to do a lot, and I'm not saying that, but those are big. Having him in there as a run blocker when you don't have your second tight end in there, when you're trying to run the block like that, that's big. He's also asked to be the first blocker on all these bubbles that Diggs and Deontay Hardy are. Like, I'm not saying those are huge things. I'm just saying those are big things to a coach, is why he's on the field 100% of the time. And he does all these dirty things without asking, without hesitating. You know what I mean? So, like, that's why I have faith in Gabe, because his mind has always been team.
Yeah, here's what I'll say too. I think one thing that would also help him and the rest of the – if they're playing a lot of man defense – then run the ball with Josh Allen. Like, because obviously when you do that, then you're going to turn your back to Josh Allen. And we know how dynamic he is too, as well. So like, make him pay that way. Like, yeah, you're going to play man. Okay, fine. Like, yeah, I'm going to beat you with my arm. Like, I can beat you with not only my arm, but also my running ability too.
And when's the last time we've seen him scramble and hit something?
That's what I'm saying.
I haven't seen Josh scramble and hit a nice deep, nice ball down the field in like four games. And I don't know where that went. I don't know what happened to the offense to where that, but those were a lot of games, big games, was something crazy happened, scramble, Gabe's down the field, sideline catch, boom, 20. Like, those were a lot of games. Like, he's good at finding space in breakable plays and zones. And like, I just don't think we've been doing any of that. I don't think Josh has been running the ball, and I don't know why.
I think you'll start to see it this week. Yeah. I really
Well, I hope so. But here's the next question. Because the thing is, again, this morning you and I talked about it, Antoine, and then same thing with Jeremy. We talked about it on the breaking news pod that we did. Look, I get it. Dorsey was fired because the offense hasn't been living up to par. But also, we've heard Sean McDermott come out several times over the last like 6-7 weeks and say that he's had more input on the offensive game plan than normal because he wanted to run a different type of offense. He didn't want Josh Allen doing the things that made Josh Allen. He said this in the coach's pressers, where he's come out and basically said like, well, we want to do something different. So if that's the case, are we going to see something? Or maybe it is like, okay, well, we had to fire this guy. So Joe, look, go ahead and make things work now, because we can't afford any more trouble. Or what is it? You know what I mean? Either one of you that want to take that.
I'll go for it. I don't know. It's the hardest part about McDermott is that he's not very transparent. So, like, I don't know whether or not that was because Ken wanted him to sit in the pocket and be a pocket quarterback player. Like, I don't know if it was Ken. I don't know if it was McDermott trying to run the clock down so that their defense isn't on the field as much as they have been, but that hasn't been working because our defense has been on the field more than half the game most of the time. So, like, I don't know if it was McDermott or if he's just saying that he has some input or he really doesn't. Like I can't tell how to read McDermott. This doesn't seem, he's a defensive coach, right? He's a defensive minded coach. I don't see what kind of input he could have in an offense that would make an offensive coordinator be like, oh yeah, like let me do what McDermott wants me to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, he might just be taking the bullet, or he just took the bullet. Like, coaches tend to do that. So I'm curious to see, like I say, especially with Joe Brady running the shots now, like, you know, the wrinkles that are going to happen, because obviously the system's going to stay the same. But, you know, I imagine that's going to be one thing that does change, especially considering, one, you know, the Jets have had problems stopping mobile quarterbacks at times this year, whether you talk about, you know, Tyrod Taylor or, you know, so, or Dak Prescott and things of that nature too. And also running the football too. I think it'll be a lot more emphasis as well, because the Jets have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. As good as their defense has been this year, you know, their Achilles heel, especially after losing Al Woods in the middle, stopping the run. And I think we kind of saw that, whether you saw it on Sunday night against Josh Jacobs or, you know, a few weeks back against Saquon Barkley. Yeah, I definitely think you're going to see more of an emphasis to run the football this upcoming week.
I hope so. And can we talk about that for a second now? Like, what in the hell happened when, I get it, a fumble happened, but can we get past this putting players in timeout like they 7 years old or something?
Yeah,
like
not
Sean
college.
McDermott. Yeah, like you gonna bench James Cook, like, but you don't bench Josh Allen for the interceptions. You don't bench Gabe Davis for a drop pass, or you don't bench Diggs for a drop pass. But you gonna bench. I just don't. It don't make sense to me.
Yeah, Nick Saban doesn't even do that at Alabama. Like, he might yell at you. I mean, but yeah, you got to treat these guys like professional. Like, if you start doing that, then yeah, you're opening a whole different, you know, Pandora's box, because everybody's going to make mistakes, you know, from time to time too. Now, if you consistently making them, like, for like a whole lot of them, then yeah, I mean, eventually you're going to find yourself without a job. But yeah, it's like you said, like, I mean, Josh Allen turned the ball over multiple times. Yeah.
I'm going to assume. Because Jordan told me that when they were going off the coin toss, that he said, yo, if we win the toss, we're going to take the ball. I'm going to assume that if that first fumble didn't come on the first play of the game, that he wouldn't have been benched. But I think because we wanted to take the ball, we had a script to go down and score a touchdown. We fumbled on the first play. For the second week in a row, we turned the ball over on the first play of our first offensive drive. I think that was just really like a pissed off moment for McDermott, to where he was like, dude, we just took the ball on purpose to go down and score, and you fumbled it first play of the drive, and now we're on the defense minus 40 in. And that's a high, you can argue, is that a high end? Yeah, it is, sure. Like, James Cook is nice, so like keep him in the game, whatever. But I understand the pissed off frustration that he had, because we just took the ball and fumbled on the first play of the game.
I understand it. Hold on real quick. I understand the frustration, but the issue that I have with it is that, look, he's been doing this to every running back that's been in Buffalo since he's been a coach, other than LeSean McCoy that one year that he had him. He's benched Motor Singletary. He's benched Zach Moss. He's benched every guy that's come in kind of sort of that left, that was backup roles, but not really here. Like, he's benched everybody that's done it. But the thing is, we don't even focus on the run game enough for you to really be that pissed off at these guys, man. Like, let these guys get into a rhythm. Let these guys really, like, this is James Cook's second 100-yard game this season, and he's been running well all year. We don't give him the ball enough to consistently give us a game like last night. And then last night, he fumbles on the first play, and then you don't play him for the first half? Like, come on, man. Like, he did all of that in the second half. That's crazy to me. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's dynamic. Like, we definitely saw that. I mean, yeah, he has to do a better job taking care of the football. But, you know, as a coach, you just got to be like, some of the best coaches I've been around, they, you know, a person makes a mistake, they're like, yeah, you got to make it up. Like, you make me a play. Like, make it up later on, man. You owe me a play. Basically what it is. Like, that's what it is. Like, you owe them. Like, you got to make up for the, you got to atone for your mistake. And I think James Cook would have done that. I mean, he was balling out last night. He was really, yeah, like, they have a dynamic playmaker in him. And they're crazy if they don't use him, especially, like I say, in a game like this where, you know, the trouble Josh Allen has had against the Jets defense coming up. And, you know, the problems that they've had stopping the run. So that would be just insane if they don't take advantage of that.
I think Leonard Fournette kind of gets a call up, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's going to start getting a bulk of these carries, because – he can trust Leonard Fournette with the ball, then, and whether we agree with it, yeah, whether you agree, because to be fair, Latavius Murray had a good half. I mean, he had some nice 12, 15-yard runs in the first half that, like, and whether or not Cook would have been, but I think Leonard Fournette would be a good back for the way that this team is designed right now to play football. So I do think Leonard Fournette gets a call up here soon.
No, I agree. Like I said, I thought not even because of the way the game played out. I tweeted before the game started that I wish Leonard Fournette was called up yesterday for that game. I just think when you have a team with a collection of talent the way we do, I think you just want to have the most talented guys active every game. And to me, I'm very happy with Latavius Murray. I'm very happy with all the running backs that we've had on this roster. You give me touchdown Lenny and James Cook as my 1-2 punch, and I'm cool. Like, I'm cool. Put the two best running again. Latavius Murray did well. I'm not mad at him. I'm not saying take him. All I'm just saying is Lenny is better. Put Lenny in the game, and let's just get the most talent around Josh, and let's let this offense run, man. Let's let it cook real quick, because, I mean, we got to get to the game coming up now, the Jets and Bills. Before we do, I do want to take a quick minute, let Antoine kind of give us, like, paint the picture for us of where the Jets team is currently, what happened over these last 2 weeks that, you know, they lost two games, but they're always, games are always seems to be close because their defense keeps them in it. And all this different, like, what's going on with them? What's the state of the Jets?
They can't score. That's basically the bottom line. Like, that's the short answer of it. I mean, they've gone 11 quarters without scoring a touchdown. I mean, they have not scored a touchdown since the first quarter of the game against the Giants on October 29th. I mean, they lost to the Chargers 27-6. Didn't score a touchdown there. They've relied a lot on their special teams with Greg Zuerlein and Thomas Morstead. And then the same thing against the Raiders, too. I mean, they had opportunities. They shot themselves in the foot with penalties. They had a touchdown. Breece Hall got called back for a holding penalty by Cizay Uzama. And then they couldn't find the end zone. And then that's basically the bottom line. If it's not penalties, it's been, you know, lack of, you know, kind of play. The play calling has been really questionable, too. We talked about Ken Dorsey. Also, Nathaniel Hackett's been a big question as well. His offense just doesn't work as well without Aaron Rodgers. That's basically the bottom line of it. And then it's lack of creativity. You saw it. It's a clip going around. that Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he had the headset on and Nathaniel Hackett was calling the play, and Aaron was like, nah, that ain't it. Like, and then they proceeded to, you know, didn't get the first third down and ended up having to punt. So that shows you all you need. That tells you all you need to know about, you know, the state of the Jets and offensively. But defense, you know, they've been in games too. They've had problems stopping the run recently, but, you know, their defense is going to keep them in games, and it's going to be slugfest throughout the rest of the year, I believe.
Jeremy?
I'm in agreement. I've watched them. I like the Jets. I know a lot of people don't. I'm a big Aaron guy, so I would like for them to be in it so he can make a comeback this year and play well. I think Garrett Wilson's a great receiver. Zach Wilson's.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Not in the best mode, but I think that, to be honest, if Aaron was calling the plays, Zach might be performing a little better. I just feel like Aaron has a better grasp of how Zach likes to play football, and I don't think that Nathaniel Hackett's calling games for Aaron right now, and Aaron's not in it. And so I don't know how to, like, change that, if they just need to run the ball more. Brees has been – I don't know if they've been able to run the ball very well recently. I haven't watched much of that.
They haven't.
Not all. They just stack it on the scrimmage and make Zach beat you.
Yeah. Well, they stack in the box with 8 or 9 players, so they know that Zach can't beat them. So, yeah. I mean, that's affecting Breece too. So that's a big part of it too. That's why I feel like, and they're vanilla on the play caller. You know they're going to run the ball. Antonio Pierce said it last week. He was like, this team doesn't hide when they want to run the ball. Everybody knows it. Like, I mean, he didn't, you know, it wasn't necessarily this, but it kind of was. Like, they're very predictable. And then I think you've kind of seen that, like, they run the ball on first down. They'll run the ball on second down. And then third, they get in these third and long situations. You know, 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-8, that's not ideal, especially when you got a quarter guy like Zach Wilson, who's, you know, not the best quarterback in the world. Like, even if you had the best quarterback in the world, when you have a third and, you know, intermediate and long situations, you tend not to make it. And that's why they're, you know, 20, like, I think they're completing, you know, 22% of their third down opportunities, which is the worst in the league. That's historically bad, to be quite honest with you. I mean, most bad teams are like in the 30s, but yeah, you're in the low 20s. Like, that's embarrassing.
To your point, like, Zach be missing a lot of, like, shorter balls to get you in closer, like second and shorts. Like, and that's a big part of the NFL game. It's like you want to get in the second and short, third and short, get you some easy play calls that'll get you a first down and just move the ball. And we have that exact same problem in Buffalo of like, look, can we get to some third and shorts rather than second and long? Like that. And I agree with that. I think Zach needs to be a little bit more accurate with his short balls, and they could run the ball a little better.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, yeah, until they figure out the passing situation, the teams are going to continue to stack the box. That's basically what it boils down to. And then you got a dynamic player like Breece. So I also think part of it, too, what boggles my mind with Hackett is he doesn't get the ball in Breece Hall and also Garrett Wilson's hands enough. Like, you got two dynamic play callers. I mean, Like, get the ball in their hands. And then they're taking Breece Hall off the field on third down. And they had Michael Carter in there on third down running back. He ended up releasing him today. I think they'll probably get Breece a little bit more opportunities. He can, you know, he shows he can break it on third down situations. And then I don't think they get the ball to Garrett enough. Like, get him out in space. Like, get him with some bubbles, anything. There's no reason why he shouldn't have at least, you know, the ball like 12 times a game, whether it be, you know, catching the ball or like running, like anything, just any kind of creativity, you know, because that's your best bet, especially in these next two games. You got Buffalo on Sunday. You got the Dolphins on a short week on Black Friday. This is it. Like, and we talk about the Bills and like it's crunch time for them. It's crunch time for the Jets too, for the simple fact that if they lose both of these games, they're 4-7 heading into December. And we know how it is in the AFC right now. Currently, the Jets are 13th in the standings. They lose these next two games, it's over. It's over. Like, you're not, you know, you would literally probably have to run the table to make the playoffs, because quite frankly, 10 wins might not even get you in, especially in a year like this where, you know, you got the teams like the Texans that are competing really well. I mean, you got the Bengals that are on outside looking in. Buffalo is still hanging around too as well. So, yeah, I mean, this is it. Like, this is –
like to see the Jets.
They got to get it. Yes. Yeah, they got it. They got to win. They at least got to split. They at least got to split.
Take the Dolphins.
Well, see, to me, I feel like both teams have to win. I know I said this to Twan earlier on Code of Conduct. I think this is a must-win for both teams. I think really, essentially, whichever team loses here, I think you can almost say that the season is done for them, right? Like, and Bills fans might disagree with me here. It's like, well, Spence, we're 5 games. If we lose and go 6 and then go undefeated, that's the question. You really think that the Bills are going to go undefeated with the schedule we have? And I'm not saying that, like, to question the Bills. Last year, if you would have had this same conversation with me, I'm like, man, I'm not going to say what I would say off air, but I'd be like, man, forget them, forget the Chiefs, forget the Eagles, forget this year. I can't, man. Like, I can't. The way the product that the Bills have put on the field, I don't have the confidence to say, man, we're going to smack the Eagles. We're going to smack the Chiefs. We're going to smack. I don't have that confidence. We play the Dolphins again, too, in Miami at the end of the year.
Correct.
So, I mean, right there, those are 3 games. And then we're talking about the Jets this Sunday. Guess what? Every time the Bills play the Jets, Josh Allen struggles. If you look at the last 3 games Josh Allen has played against the Jets, he has 4, or I believe it's 5 turnovers and 2 touchdowns. Like, that's Josh Allen against the Jets. Even the games that we've won, he struggles against the Jets. So, to me, Sunday isn't – I know my people's over at DraftKings got his favorite. Now it moved up already to 7 from 6.5. But I can't even see myself confidently saying, yeah, we're going to win by a touchdown. Let me go ahead and put the money – actually, what I did was I took the spread for the Jets, actually, before it changed, because I feel like they're going to beat the spread. The game going to be close. We're going to win by a field goal. I'm still thinking we're going to win, but it's going to be a field goal.
I think the Bills will win, too. But it's gonna be tight. It's gonna be tight. Yeah.
I think this is more of a must-win game for us than given the schedule that is coming up. This game in particular, I think, is more of a must-win game for us. I think the Jets can go on a streak late in the season, given their schedule.
But if they lose, to us, and then they lose next week against the Dolphins, man, that means they literally have to win every single game
in particular. this weekend in particular is more of a must-win game for us, given the schedule that we have coming up, rather than them. I think they can lose this next game and then beat the Dolphins and then go on a little bit of a run of whatever games that they have left in comparison. Like, we probably got to win like 5 out of these next 7 to snip the playoffs. And so maybe 6.
That's fair. I mean, I think the Bills have a tougher schedule. However, like, yeah, even if you lose this game, I mean, like you said, you were to beat Miami, you still got to play the Texans, who are, you know, CJ Stroud's been amazing. I think better than anybody anticipated. And you still got a game, another game against the Dolphins, and you still got a game against the Browns, who, like I said, I think that they have the best defense in the league right now. And then, oh yeah, Myles Garrett is like on a mission. So yeah, it doesn't get any easier, man. Like, it is. Like, I agree, the Bills have – it is a must-win for them, especially them playing at home and, you know, considering the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, this is – I agree with Spence. I think this is a playoff game for, you know, the winner and the loser. The loser, I think it's gonna be hard for them to make the playoffs, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about the game now, since we just kind of – we got caught up now on where the Jets are, what they're doing. I feel like both teams – and so I'll give you both a chance to kind of tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. But I feel like both teams, I think Twan mentioned earlier that the Jets have struggled against the run. I think since the Bills have kind of missed out on Daquan Jones and Matt Milano since week 4, I think the Bills have struggled against the run. So I think this game going into it, I think both teams are going to be trying to run the ball and trying to defend the run. Let's start with Jeremy here. How do you see this game playing out, like game plan for both teams?
If I'm not mistaken, I think since Milano and them got hurt, we've started stacking the box and we've actually done worse against the pass than the run, from what I've seen. We've been playing a lot of like man, trying to really stack the box against other teams. So I do see us doing that against this team, just like every other team has been doing against Zach Wilson, just stacking the box, playing a little bit more man over the top and making Zach Wilson beat us. I think that worked last time. I think we should have won a game last time, had Josh, you know what I mean? So I see it playing. If there's two ways to go, if our offense is still struggling, then it's going to play out exactly how the last game played. And it'll just be whoever wins at the end of the game, last play, whoever has the ball at the end of the last play of the game. And then if our offense can get it together, it could be a blowout. It could go those two ways. I don't think the Jets can come in here and blow us out. But
when's the last time you've seen the Bills blow out the Jets, though? I mean, and I'm not being funny when I say this. I really think that the Buffalo Bills, let me say this different. I think the Jets have built the defense to stop the Bills before any other team in the league. So I think like they're built to play the Bills. So I just don't think that I don't remember us blowing that team out in 2 years at least.
Yeah, their style is conducive to like playing the Bills very well. Like they have a very similar type style. So yeah, I think I agree with that. To your point, with talk about the run defense, as I mentioned earlier, they're 31st in the league in stopping the run. They're giving up 138 yards per game. You know, the team that gives up the most rushing yards in the league is the one that the Bills just played, the Broncos. So it goes to your point there. They probably should have ran the ball a lot more than what they did, to be quite honest with you, especially when you know how bad the Broncos have been struggling stopping the runs. But, yeah, that's why I think, you know, that's what it's going to come down to. Can the Jets be able to run the football effectively with Breece Hall and also get the passing game going? Because, you know, as I alluded to, like they haven't been able to score touchdowns. And I think part of that is like Zach Wilson and, you know, his inefficiencies at time and being one of the lowest rated quarterbacks there. You got to be able to, you know, hit those intermediate passes, but also, you know, make some big plays too in the passing game and call some game, like do hit some creativity as well. But, you know, Breece Hall can get going. I definitely think that'll help out the Jets a lot. But to your point, yeah, I don't see the Jets blowing them out. If anything, the Bills would blow them out, but I don't know if that's going to happen either, because like I said, I think this is going to be another drag out, slug out matchup. And kind of like what you saw in week 1, I thought the Bills, you know, despite the turnovers, they should have won that game. They should have won that game, to be quite honest with you. And even, you know, it took a magical kick return, a punt return in order for that to happen.
And to your point, Spence, last year when Mike White played, we blew them out, did we not?
Not blowing out. No. They lost. They won by 8 points. It was 20-12, I want to say.
So our defense
was
just...
Yeah, the Jets had an opportunity to score at the end, and then Michael Carter fumbled. And then they pretty much put the game on ice there for the Bills there. But yeah, that was the game where they broke Mike White's ribs. Milano. That was like such a vicious hit too. And then Mike White ended up coming. We ended up talking about, Vince and I talked about this earlier. Like, he ended up coming back into the game for whatever reason, which I thought was just ridiculous.
Like, how?
And then he went to the hospital afterwards. And then he didn't play for like the next couple of weeks there because he had broken ribs.
2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, Spence. That's what Josh has against the Jets in the last 3.
I'll look it up while you're talking. It's something very close to
the reason I ask, because like, it's been on Josh. I feel like the reason that these games have been close with the Jets, specifically on Josh. And I can say that I don't think that Josh, like, I think Josh can come out and play well against any team. So it really just depends on how he plays, on whether or not this is going to be a blowout or a close game. Is it bad?
Two touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
Some fumbles in there too.
Yeah, he got some fumbles in there. It's not good, bro. Last year in December, he had 147 yards. I think that one was the Buffalo game.
That's the one they won. They played in Buffalo, but they still won.
So again, the defense did what they did to Mike White, but Josh went 16 for 27, 59% completion, 147 yards, 1 touchdown. Like, that's not a Josh Allen game. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, that's not. And then the game before that, he went 18 for 34, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 1 rushing touchdown. You know what I mean? So again, what I'm saying is I'm not saying that I don't think the Bills are better. I think we're better. But for some reason, Josh Allen is not Josh Allen against the Jets, and they just play that defense plays us so well. And even Diggs got caught sauce a few times, you know, like he'll get him a player or two here. But I mean, Diggs just doesn't have consistently the Diggs games that we're used to seeing against the Jets. And I don't know if it's a mentality thing. I don't know if they're really, I don't know what it is.
I'd ask Antoine, did they come out of man? They're not coming out of man, right, for nobody?
Typically, no. And then they also don't switch sides either. So Diggs typically, he'll be on both Sauce and like DJ. Both of them will cover him like at times too. But yeah, you'll probably see primarily Sauce like on Diggs. But yeah, they're typically in man, and they don't blitz. They don't blitz at all.
This offense has, including Gabe, like, they struggle to get open against man. We don't have like a lot of man beaters, and like, that's where Kincaid was supposed to come in, and he's been having a solid game. The turnovers, I would expect Kincaid to have a big game if they're sitting man.
Yes, I think he's the X factor in all of this because, I mean, obviously the tension is going to be on Diggs, but, you know, Jets have had problems stopping tight ends. So I definitely think he needs to have a big game there. I think he'll probably see, you know, a combination of CJ Mosley probably on Kincaid at times too. I mean, as good as CJ is, I mean, Kincaid is like on another level too. You also might see, you know, Michael Carter II too as well, who I think is one of the better slot defenders in the league too as well.
For me, I want to see Kincaid and Diggs get the same type of target share that Hill and Kelsey got in Kansas City. Like, I want clearly for my offense. I know Jeremy don't like that because I'm taking Gabe out the picture. But for me, you give me Diggs and Kincaid as like the top target getters on this offense when it's a passing game, and then let Gabe fall into place and let everybody else fall into place. But Kincaid, dude, Kincaid is nice, man. Like,
I dislike that if we're playing against a team that plays a lot of zone, because Gabe is your zone beater on this team. If we're playing against a team that's playing a lot of man, they got good corners, Kincaid's got to be the guy you target a lot. He has to be, because he's playing against linebackers that he's better than. So, like, I'm not against that when the situation calls for that. I do think that there's a time and games where Gabe needs to be the number one target. I believe in that too. I just don't think it should be an every game thing.
I agree with that. I actually agree with that too, because I think it's going to depend on game plan. It has to depend on the game plan. You can't just sit there and say, "Oh yeah, we're just going to do this because we just think you're like." It depends on the opponent. It's the style, man. Like,
There's no opponent that's going to ever have me say Gabe Davis should get the most targets in the damn game.
Why not?
No,
because, like, it depends on, like, look at the teams. Like,
look at the teams.
Like, it creates the most separation against zone teams on our team.
Yeah, it depends on
he creates the most separation against zone teams on our football team.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I don't care who we play. Stephon Diggs needs to get the most targets. After that, it needs to be Kincaid.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at it, but I'm saying Davis. It shouldn't be Kincaid after Diggs against zone teams because Kincaid is not a sit down. He's a
Kincaid
rookie.
Can't be zone. Just because he's a rookie don't mean he can't beat zone.
Don't think zone because he's not that smart. Like he's not that smart enough to sit there and beat a zone all game. He's more of a man beater because your linebackers can't cover him. Gabe has the most. I'm telling you, Gabe has the biggest separation against zone coverage out of anybody.
I haven't seen separation from Gabe.
You haven't watched him against zone coverage.
I'll say this: I think it definitely depends on the opponent too. It's not that I don't think Kincaid could. I just think that
he won the last game. He had the most targets, Walter. Sorry.
I just think it's like if you have a team that has a top flight corner, like kind of like what the Broncos do and Patrick Surtain, like, yeah, man, just, you know, get the ball, try to get the ball to Gabe, like let him make some plays too as well. So it's like style makes fights too, man. You got to be able to adjust it to whoever your opponent is. You can't just go in there and just say, well, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that just because, you know, you can. You got to be able to make those adjustments too as well, depending on your opponent.
It, true. No, I'm agreeing it, with that part.
Hey, the no, Bills, I'm used to Bills Mafia argument. Hey, it's better. Yeah. Y'all are a little bit tamer than what the Jets have been so far. So, like, the Jets fans have been hinged.
I'm sure it's been worse. But what I will say is, though, I'm really not trying to be funny here, though. Like, I agree with what both of you are saying as far as based on game plan, game by game, we should have a different plan based on who we're playing, and different people should be the focal point of the defense or the offense. What I'm saying is Gabe Davis, he doesn't have enough routes that he can run on the route tree that ever make me say he should be getting the most targets. I think he should get targets, especially in against zone. Like you're saying, Jeremy, I just think we look at him completely differently, though. I think you really believe in him a whole lot more than
Absolutely.
I do. And at this point, for me, because at some point they have to talk about an extension or letting him walk. For me, if you're talking about paying him as a wide receiver number two and the contract that he's going to get, I think that they need to let him walk. Ooh, and that's just fine. Me.
Absolutely. They can let him walk. I could agree with them letting him walk. But I'm not having that conversation. I'm having the conversation of his production based off of what they're seeing on the field and whether or not he could be a one against certain defenses.
That's the conversation I'm having.
No, I'm not talking about paying him.
I'm talking about playing him. Right. No, I'm saying playing and paying. Like, I don't want to pay him because he can't play. Like, he's not catching balls consistently. He's not putting yards up consistently. Like, what people will do is at the beginning of the season, he had 4 touchdowns in 6 games. So people will be like, he's a great number 2 wide receiver. He has 4 touchdowns. But one of those games, he had one reception for 34 yards, which was the touchdown. Granted, it was a touchdown. But where was he at when it was time to move the sticks? We were sure we didn't convert third downs that game. Why? He had a touchdown, though.
Playing man defense with 2 really good corners all game.
So to me, can Diggs beat a zone and man?
Not when they're taking him away in zone. Some teams play zone on one side.
Yes or no? No. Yes or no? Can Diggs beat a zone and man?
No.
He can't
because they're going
to
double
cap. So let's go ahead and move on it because you don't want to be honest. So we don't even have to talk about it because you just want to be no because you love Gabe so much that you can't be honest. You're sitting here really saying that I'm talking about straight up man to man. Can Diggs beat man and
if you're getting one on one coverage for
you just told everybody was telling me that Davis was a wide receiver 1B. He can't do that by himself with single coverage because Diggs is getting doubled. And you're going to sit here and keep taking up for Davis? This bum is dropping Absolutely. The ball.
Diggs dropped the ball right in his hand. Drop that shit.
Last season, that man gave me 1,500 yards. That man can drop a ball or two here or there. Okay. Like you bugging. Like, the difference of level of play between Diggs and Davis, man. And you sitting here riding for Davis like this dude is good.
Fumbled the ball in clutch time.
And I went hard on that. I said, yo, I went hard on Kincaid. Wait a minute. I went hard on Kincaid when all of Bills Mafia was like, he's a rookie. You got to give him that fumble. No, he fumbled in a big moment of the game and potentially in a place where we could have scored and turned the game around. You don't get off for that. What I'm saying is you don't get off for that. And I'm smacking on Gabe too. That's what I'm saying. I keep my energy's the same, bro. My energy's the same. Davis, he gets this energy consistently because he's consistently not good. Kincaid, he got – come on, man. I pull up every single stat from last season since you – or not stat. We could talk games. Last season, Davis led the team in drops. This season, okay, not as much, but – he's disappearing. Against the Bengals, he had 0 catches for 0 yards. Get open. He had 2 targets. Why? Because he wasn't open. Get open.
That was one game.
You got me tired about Davis. This dude is a bum. And you talk about him every week like he's great, bro. He's a bum. I don't dislike Davis. I like Davis. I can pull up posts right now. A few weeks ago, where I say 2 games like this from Davis, give me another one so I can start calling you consistent. I love it. I can pull up posts where I'm saying, yo, Davis, that's how you play wide receiver. You remember the Will Smith scene from Bad Boys when it's like, that's how you drive. That's how you drive. I talk about Davis like that. That's how you play. From now on, that's how. Give it to me consistently. Pause. And I promise you, I'm going to hype you. The reason why I love Diggs every week is because he's consistent. Come on, man.
Kincaid went through the first 4 weeks and had 20 yards in each of those games. 1 catch or 2 catches.
Now look at his catches compared to targets. He had targets less because you had Knox and they were playing 12 personnel. The moment you gave him the tight end targets versus the guy you were paying $52 million to, he started making receptions, right?
What happened? What happened with these guys last game?
What happened? What game?
What happened with Kincaid and Diggs last game? Because Gabe had the most yards this last game. Where was Kincaid at this last game?
Kincaid had a very good game. What are you talking about?
No.
You're talking about yards for a game. I'm talking about consistent play all season. So if you're talking about one game, okay, the game against Kansas City in the playoffs, 13 seconds, oh, my God, Gabe Davis is the greatest wide receiver of all time.
Kincaid's had 2 good games this year, and I'll give him those 2 games. But, like, to say that he should be the number 2 option because he's had 2 good games this year, and then to sit here and say that Gabe's been bad because he's had 2 bad games this year, it just don't make sense to me.
So Kincaid has had 2 good games. So as a rookie tight end, 75 yards, 65 yards, 81 yards, 51 yards, 43 yards as a rookie aren't good games?
No, name the first 4 games.
The first 4 games, 26 yards and 43 against the 43. I'm good on 43 yards for 5 receptions from my rookie tight end when Dawson Knox is still in the game. I'm okay, good
you would
for
call that game bad for Gabe. And that's about my
for
point.
Kincaid, for a tight end? Mafia, wait. For a tight end.
Would call that game bad for Gabe and would sit here and say,
you know why? You know,
for Gabe.
You know why that's bad for Gabe? No, you know why that's bad for Gabe? Because Gabe is a wide receiver too. A wide receiver. A tight end. Bro, come on, man. A tight end. There's only like 2 tight ends in the league that you ever expect
Gabe
to put up wide receiver numbers.
Targets a game.
And he drops 4.2 of them.
No, he has 2 drops this season.
Come on, bro. Come on, man. You talking this craziness, man, and I love you, but you crazy for taking up for Gabe like this. You talk about this like Jordan, and I'm with you.
Because I know how hard he works. He works harder than everybody else on there except Jordan.
I'm not questioning his work ethic. You can work as hard as you want. Hell, Satan worked very hard to take over heaven, but he got kicked out because he sucked. That's what happened. Look. He works hard. His work ethic is epic. I love it. I've seen it during the summer. All the videos that he posted, all of the stuff that Josh and Diggs talks about how hard he works and how okay.
Maybe he produces when they let him produce.
Translate it on. They tried to let him produce against the Bengals. What happened?
They didn't try to let him produce. He's running fades.
Dude, if you're on the field, you got to. Okay, we got 4 minutes left. Let's get a prediction for this weekend because I feel like me and Jeremy can argue all season about Gabe Davis. This dude's a bum, and I'm gonna say it as public as I can. And he's gonna take up for him as public as he can.
Every time.
So that's that. And just so everybody listening and watching, it's all love between me and Jeremiah. Absolutely. We only get like this about Gabe. It's all love. Like when we get off of this, we're gonna be texting and laughing and talking about crazy stuff. So I just want you to know. But okay, let's get some. You said what?
No, I was talking to Jason.
Oh, okay. Well, Gabe had three drops going in the last night game. Okay, he had one yesterday that turned into an interception.
Wasn't accurate. That Jason's not accurate. That's what I was saying. It was two.
Okay.
It was two.
Matt said, told me to check my heart rate. I don't have my my Apple Watch on, so I probably should check it.
Mine's very high. I need to hit some of these sleeping pills or something.
Let's see how y'all think this game is going to play out, though, real quick. We got 2 minutes left. Antoine, we just went on a whole argument tangent there. So why don't you give us what you think is going to happen, how it's going to play out, and then we'll get on out of here.
I think it's going to be another, you know, knock them out, low-scoring game. Very similar probably to last year in Buffalo as well. I think it's going to come down to, you know, which team can take care of the football and also which team can run the ball well. But, you know, I like Buffalo in this one. I think James Cook is going to go off. I think they're going to use Josh Allen's legs a little bit more. And I think that's going to hurt the Jets defense a little bit as well. And, you know, I think they're going to continue to struggle to score points. So, yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, I'll go with 20 to 13 Buffalo in this one.
20-13. I like it. What you got, Jeremy?
I've been wrong about this prediction for the last 3 weeks because I just feel like something's about to happen with this offense at some point. But I'm going to take it again. I'm going to go 33-17 Bills, and I'm going to bank on my guys to score some damn points finally.
See, I'm going to go the same route, but I think it's for a different reason. I think now, not even because it's Joe Brady, not because that they let go of anybody, but I think – well, no, I guess it is because they let go of Ken. I think now – with all of the questions, because now it's not just the national media questioning the Bills offense. Bills fans are questioning the offense. Bills fans are questioning Josh Allen. And, you know, and there's a lot of talk, you know, we got Trayvon Diggs saying that Steph needs out of Buffalo and all this stuff. So there's a lot of stuff. I think the Bills are going to come out and try to prove a point for real this week. I think regardless of what the coaches are saying, what the game plan is, I think the players are going to get up and look across the line and say, hey, we're better than this team. We need to beat them down. So I think it's going to be – I'm going closer to what Antoine said. I don't think we're going to hit that 35, 31-point mark. I think it's going to be like closer to 27 to – I'll give them 17, 27-17.
So you have them score two touchdowns? Wow, that would be tremendous for the Jets, actually.
I think the Bills run defense. And then like I told you earlier on the code of conduct, a lot of teams' first or best efforts happen against the Bills, where it's like last night, Denver's that touchdown throw that Wilson Russ made in the corner, and it was like the probability was 3.6%. It was the most improbable pass of the season. Of course, it happens to the Bills on Monday Night Football in Buffalo. So I just think when it comes to that, we saw Breece Hall go off week one. I think he'll go off again. But I think that overall, Josh is going to he's going to have a Josh game, and Bills Mafia will be able to shut up for a week.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. I definitely think the Bills win. I just think they're a better team. You know, that's what the bottom line is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I just think it's the run game.
Shows up at some point.
Yeah, it could, definitely.
Hell yeah. So, well, we're going to get on out of here. I done argued my heart up, and Antoine done laughed at us enough. So we're going to get on out of here. Antoine, you want to plug anything?
Everybody just follow me on Twitter at Antoine Staley, best place to find me. So, yeah, check me out there. It was good being on with y'all again and, you know, laughing, especially through the last 5 minutes of the show.
I got to chill. Gabe is never going to do an interview with me. I already know it, but it's okay. It's all right.
Well,
I
love you. You're doing me. Oh, no, you're not going to do an interview.
You're doing me.
Listen. I just try to keep my energy consistent. I was like this last year with Isaiah McKenzie. He's taking the Isaiah McKenzie spot for me. So it just happens. Every year there has to be one. Love you, Gabe. Listen, we about to be out of here. Y'all know how we do it. Y'all love each other. Take care of each other and live in peace. Wait, I didn't say, and I'm so sorry. This show is brought to you by the Jordan Poyer Foundation. Shout out to All Pro Po. Now, y'all love each other. Take care of each other. Live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative. Go Bills.
I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want.